Isaiah chapter number 55 and chapter 55, 55 verse number 11. It says, God spoke to, and it starts kind of in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his ways and so forth and so on. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But he said, the rain comes down on the snow and doesn't go back and let it, until it waters the earth. He said, that's the way my word will be. Verse number 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the word of God. I am so different tonight because of the word. Oh, my goodness. Woo. It has certainly come into my life and watered my life and produced some things. Because it says in verse 10, let's read. Oh, I got to read verse 10. The rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither. Actually, the Hebrew says, except it waters the earth. Why is it water the earth? So that it'll make it bring forth and bud, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The word has come into my life and brought forth some things I never dreamed I could be walking in. The first one is peace. Oh, my goodness. I told you about how I started out as a teenager with a torment. It was like a band around my head. And I thought, my goodness, is this the way life is going to be? So oppressed and all of that. But I found out through the Word, I'm sitting in Bible school and I'm like, wait a minute. And that truth got in me and set me free. And that's just one thing. How many days do you got for me to tell you, you know, of what all the word has done? But he said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Wow. That's God saying, listen, this word will work. It will work. What will it work? What will it do? It will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which I please. And it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, it'll succeed. It'll bring forth what I sent it to do. Notice that God, how many of you know Jesus was here in the flesh, and then he went back, of course, to the right hand of the Father. But really, we have to understand that God still left his word with us. Yes, Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here too. But really, that's what he'll do. He'll guide us into all the word. He'll guide us into all the truth. The Spirit and the word are working together to accomplish in Jesus' absence the same things he did when he was present. And we've got to esteem the word to that level that anything Jesus would do when he is here, when he was here in the flesh, I'm talking about. He's here in spirit. We understand that. But I'm talking about if he was here in the flesh, anything he would or could do, his word and spirit are here, and they will and can do the same thing that he would do if he was here. In fact, Romans 10 says, what saith the word of faith? It says, don't say in your heart, who will ascend up into heaven to bring him down? Who send down into hell to bring him up? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. The word is nigh thee. The word is nigh thee in your heart and in your mouth. We've got to know what this word was given to us to do. It was given in the absence of Jesus to do everything Jesus did when he was here. Amen. I said amen. The word takes the place of the ascended Christ. The Word is God. Yes. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory. The Word was made flesh. Jesus in the flesh came. But the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. You can't separate God from his Word any more than you can separate you from your Word. If your Word's no good, you're no good. You can't be a good person and your word's no good. You can't separate you from your word. You can't separate God from his word. If he's faithful, his word is faithful. Amen. You can take it to the bank. You can cash in and say, that is true concerning to me. He said, I will not let it return unto me void. I will see to it. Jesus is in the New Testament. He's called the apostle and high priest of our confession. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, I watch. Oh, King James says, hasten, or in the Greek, Hebrew means watch over my word to perform it. Jesus is watching over his word. So when we in our heart and mouth believe and say it, then he will make sure it's good. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:22, Jesus is the surety of the New Testament. The guarantee. That's what that means. Some translations say it. He's the guarantee of it. He is back of his word. He's behind it. It can't fail. You will not stand on it and be ashamed. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. Oh, I know somebody it happened. No, you don't know somebody that it happened. You know somebody who thought they were trusting God, but they were not taking God's word for it. Somebody said, that's mean. Well, that's true whether it's me or somebody else. I'm not jumping on somebody else. I'm saying this word has integrity. Just as much integrity as God himself. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in fact, go to this right now. Go to Isaiah. No, where is it? Psalm 89. Go to Psalm 89. Let's just look at a verse here that I think it'd be good for you to see right now before we go any further. Psalm 89 and verse number 34. Get this in your notes. Get this in your mostly in your heart. Psalm 89, verse number 34. My covenant. Now, somebody said, well, what is this covenant? Well, just keep on reading. My covenant. My covenant will I not break. Okay, well, what is this covenant? No, and then he goes on and just says better. He said, nor alter the thing that is going out of my mouth. I will not alter it. You'll never wake up in the morning and read a verse you read last year and find that God edited it, altered it. You know, I'm updated it. Well, you know, that wasn't applicable to 2019. So, you know, people are saying stuff like that today. I'm preparing to talk about fornication. Not tonight, but I'm just studying on some things. And one thing that the modern day church is saying is that there is no such thing as sin in fornication, sex before marriage. That's not sin. The Bible doesn't, because that's so outdated. Now, you wouldn't believe people are saying such amazing things, but they are saying that the greasy grace people are saying that's outdated. That was for people back there whenever they could control their flesh. People today can't control their flesh. I can show you quotes. That's what they're saying. Well, that is the Bible has not been edited. It has not been changed because, you know, people today are different. No, they're not. No, they're not. No, they're not. And number one, God's word is not different. It still has the power in it to deliver you from sin. It still has the power in it. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word is quick and powerful. The power of God is in his word. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It'll still reveal what's really going on in your heart, and it'll still cleanse all that out. It'll still cleanse all that out. It's still got that power. Just because they've watered down the word and don't know it doesn't mean the real true word doesn't have that power in it anymore. But that's not, I digress. here it says, and I will not break, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's going out of my mouth. That tells you what his covenant is. It's his word, the thing that is going out of his mouth. Everything that God said is covenant. That's covenant. Just mark it down. If you read it in the Bible, that's covenant. Now, you realize there's some Old Testament things that God replaced with the New Testament. You know, we don't have to go over there and kill animals anymore and stuff like that. Because Jesus, that, all that was pointing towards Jesus. It was types and shadows. But you understand, primarily I'm talking about the New Testament. That's covenant today. Amen. Now, he said, I will not break my covenant nor alter the thing that's going out of my mouth. What he has said is covenant. It's not, what God has said is not light. It's not, God is, the Bible says that he does not regard vanity. He does not regard vanity. That's in Job's, the book of Job. I'm looking for it. It's right here somewhere. I'm not really following my notes here. But he does not regard vanity, nor will the Almighty hear it. What is vanity? It's just empty talk. Just head chatter. No, there's something somebody doesn't really mean. Lord, you get me out of this, I'll serve you all the days of my life. He gets them out of it, and they go do their own thing. God doesn't listen to that. Amen. You know why? Because he is not a vain talker. He's not loose with his words. He doesn't say something and say, it's not very convenient for me to fulfill that, so I guess I won't. You know what I'm talking about? His word, God's word is his solemn bond. Yes, sir. See, we're going to build faith tonight. Yes, sir. What we're going to talk about tonight is the integrity of God's word. And how what the purpose of God giving us his word was. And when you see it, it'll change you. We're going to look at some things we haven't looked at before. So God's word is his solemn bond. It is his oath. It is a covenant. It is something that abides forever. I believe it's 1 Peter 1. I don't know if I'm quoting the right scripture. It talks about, I believe, in 1 Peter 1:23, somewhere in 1 Peter, you can look it up for yourself. I got it all right here. If you want my notes, I'll give them to you. Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe whenever I die and go to heaven, I'll give them to you. Got to watch what I say. I know some of you coming at, but I believe it's 1 Peter 1:23. Maybe somebody can check. It says, "We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible." Did I find the right verse? But of incorruptible, by the word of God, that what? Liveth and becomes null and void in the 20th century. No. Abideth forever. Forever. Hallelujah. That's his oath. He doesn't change. The Bible said in Malachi 3, I believe, somewhere there in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Yes, I change not. Yes, Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, his word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's this solemn oath. Every word that God has spoken was sworn in blood. It's not just covenant, it's blood covenant. And in the New Testament, it's sworn in the blood of Jesus. When God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he means I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If he said, I am thy help, I'm going to send another helper, he'll abide with you forever, he'll guide you into all truth, he'll help you, he'll guide you into all truth, he'll do exactly what he said. If he said, I'll increase you more and more, he'll do exactly what he said. You can take it to the bank. Well, I don't have any money to take it to the bank. You put the word in the bank because the word will produce it. Remember, it won't return unto me void. It will accomplish. It will accomplish. It has power in it to do things. Deuteronomy, God said to the people of Israel, he said in Deuteronomy 8, starting around verse 7 and then coming on down on through there, he said, I'm going to bring you into houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to, you can dig iron out of the hills, so forth and so on. You'll be the head, not the tail, as a nation. He's talking about as a nation, the head, not the tail. In other words, they won't be borrowing. They'll be lending. That's the way America is right now. Amen. That's not automatically going to stay that way. But with God still being honored properly.
Amen.
But anyway, but he said, that's what I'll do for you. And then he said, don't forget that it was me that did it. Lest you, in verse 17, he says, lest you begin to say, I did this by my power and my ability. He said in verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, but for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. It's he that's doing this, giving you the power to get wealth. He said in first, let's see, I believe it's the 11th chapter, wherever it is. You remember where God said, I humbled you and I took you out in the wilderness because you didn't obey me. And he said, I wanted to teach you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They didn't do what he said. They didn't go in and possess it, Canaan's land. And so God said, I humbled you and took you out in the wilderness to do you good in your latter end. And I wanted to train you so that you'll learn to live by everything I say. Because that's how you're going to succeed, is not by just natural things. Bread is a source of strength. It's also bread is a symbol, is what I'm trying to say, a symbol of strength. You need food. You need bread, food to eat, to be strong. And it's also a symbol of a supply. Amen. Bread is a symbol for supply. He said, you will not have strength in your body. You will not have supply in your pocketbook because of your own ability, of you doing things your way. He said, I'm going to show you that it's by living by the word I speak. In other words, what he's saying is, are you still there? What he's saying is, and I'm going around this a lot of different ways, but whenever he said that, he said, I need you to stay humble about the fact that it's the word that is abiding in you that is accomplishing these great and mighty things that are happening in your life and not you yourself. I need you to hold yourself in that awareness. This is not me doing this. I want you to learn that it's the word in you that is accomplishing these things. And don't ever forget it. That's what he's saying to the children of Israel. Don't ever forget it. That the ability, the accomplishing ability, the ability to prosper is in my word, not in your backbone, not in your wit, your grit, your whatever. That's the way you and I are supposed to live. That's called walking by faith. The source is the word. Amen. And so when it comes to God's word, it is covenant. And it has power in it. Hebrews 4:12. The word is alive, quick and powerful. The word quick means, it means alive. Alive and powerful. Alive and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, so forth and so on. But the word alive and powerful is telling us what's in the word. I don't know if you've ever read in the Amplified, whenever the angel said to Jesus, to Mary about Jesus being born, because Mary said, how shall these things be? He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and so forth and so on. And then he said, for with God, King James says, with God, all things are possible. The Amplified said, no word from God, because that angel brought a word. How many of you know whenever God gives when he drives home a word from the Bible, from the Scriptures, and drives it home by His Spirit and makes it alive and stands up on the inside of you and it announces something to you? That is the power of God. God just imparted to you the power to do it. He just imparted the power to do it. Peter had been fishing all night long, caught nothing. But Jesus said, put your net on the other side. Now he's not fishing with a net. Now he's fishing with a word. And he couldn't get all the fish in. What wasn't working, he did the same thing that he had been doing that wasn't working. He did it with a word. And the power in the word made it work. We got to get a hold of that. We got to get a hold of that. I said, we got to get a hold of that. And so two people can do the exact same thing. Two people can go through the quote unquote, motions of faith. One, release power and things start happening. Another one, release nothing but hot air and activity and sweat. You know what I'm talking about? What's the difference? One is doing it by something that's on the inside, by the word that got on the inside of them. The Bible said in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Amen. To the degree it's in you, richly means it can be in you in different degrees. It could be in you less rich. You know, that's not good English. But it could be in you less than richly. And somebody says, well, why isn't it producing? Well, it's producing. It's just not in you in abundance. The Bible talks about in Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. If it's going to prevail, it has to grow to the point of prevailing. It can be in you in a small degree, and it's doing a little bit. But it can be in you to a degree where it prevails. Pushes out fear, pushes out doubt, pushes out bondage, pushes out affliction, pushes out sickness, pushes out the curse. And what you grew up in is not what you're living in right now. It pushes it out of your mentality. It pushes it out of your spirit. It pushes it out of your demeanor and your attitude. And you don't have a whine in your voice. And you're not a victim anymore. And you don't have a sad song to sing. And you don't like crying in your beer. And you don't like sleeping with your dog. And you just don't like it anymore. Because you've got victory on the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the power is in the word. I told the Lord, I need help in my finances. And he said, it begins when my word finds a home in your heart. I was looking at the need financially, and he was looking at where the power was to produce that. He was pointing me back to where the power was. He said over there in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. It's not just the word, it is God. It is the power of God. It is the source of everything you're looking for. Amen. Hallelujah. But we've got to remember that that's where the ability came from. When we're walking in some things we weren't walking in before. How many of you, and I know many people, even here, many people came into this church on medications for emotional upheaval and trouble and so forth and so on. But the word got into you, and now a lot of you just got totally off all that stuff. Amen. Not condemning anybody that's still on some, but I'm just simply saying the word can grow in you and prevail just like it has in others. Hallelujah. Thank God for medicine if you need it. But I just don't believe in needing it. Amen. Glory! What that's saying is stay humble before the word and recognize it's where the power is. It's where the ability is that you're walking in. It's what is accomplishing these mighty things in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, then we read, Psalm 89 there, he said, my word, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that's going out of my mouth. There's two things you need to get a hold of. Number one, the power that's in the word. And number two, get a hold of the integrity of the word. The power that's in the word. And number two, the integrity that's in the word. A lot of times we don't understand why God sent us his word. We have a low estimation of the purpose for it. You understand? The purpose God gave it. And what it's given to do. And so we have a low-grade faith. We're waiting for something more than the word. We're looking past where the power is to somebody that's got the power. Now, God anoints men and women today. We understand that. He anoints people to minister healing. He anoints people to do different things. And we understand that. But listen, in the healing revival, there were God anointed many ministers to go out and minister healing all over America. Yes, but what was the percentage, honey? I'm trying to remember. Some 80-some percent of the people that were healed in those meetings lost it. Uh-huh. Somebody said, well, why? Wasn't that God's power on them? Yeah. But see, the anointing on them did it. And whenever they were back on their own, under their own faith, the word wasn't in them concerning healing. And so the devil came and stole it. They were looking past where the real permanent victory is to a man who's anointed of the Holy Ghost. I believe in laying on of hands. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in laying hands on the sick. But if you walk away from that and don't have the word in you, the devil will put the old problem back right back on you. Amen. The real true permanent victory, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. That's where the permanent victory really is. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus in Luke 5, I believe it is, he was teaching and the power of the Lord was present to heal. That's an unusual thing to say. He was teaching and the power of the Lord. I mean, you would almost think, why even point that out? Because he was everywhere. He was teaching, the power was present because he was there. Yes, sir. The anointing was on him, right? Yes, sir. But in this case, it said he was teaching and the power of the Lord was present. Why point that out if there wasn't something unique going on in this service? You know what I'm talking about. In other words, the word he was preaching started manifesting. The power that was on it started manifesting. You need to catch that. The word was in his preaching. I mean, the power was in his preaching. He was teaching and the preaching and the teaching and the preaching. That's where the power was. That's where the power was. Say, that's where the power is. People come to a service and they're bypassing the word. And they want to go to the minister and have him lay hands on them. And they're saying they're esteeming the anointing on a man more than the anointing on the word. The word has the anointing on it. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's alive. It's full of. It says in Hebrews 4:12. It's quick and powerful. Powerful is the word and energy. Energies in the Greek, and it literally means active power. It's power. It's got the active power of God in it. In other words, and then there's another word that goes along with it. That actually another word for action. So it's active power that does things. There's power in it to do things. That's why Isaiah 55 said it will accomplish. It will, not you will accomplish. It said it will accomplish. So pour it in you, get it in you, feed your spirit on it until it's in you in abundance. Colossians 3:15, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Or is that 16? Colossians 3:15 or 16, somewhere in there. Let it dwell in, 16 I believe. Let it dwell in you richly. I mean, pour it in, pour it in, pour it in. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. It's not enough just to be born again. The word, the word, the word, the word. That's where it is. The word, the word, the word. The word abiding in you. Not the word on your coffee table. The word in you. Not the word on your bumper sticker. Not the word on your refrigerator. Not the word even on the church purpose statement. But the word in you. When it abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's covenant talking right there. So get it in you. Whenever it gets in you, the power is in you. So the purpose God gave his word is not understood. He gave it, number one, to give us his power. God's word is in his power. Amen. His ability is in his word. That's number one. Number two, he gave it to end wavering. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. But the reason so many people struggle with wavering, remember James 1 says, don't be like the wave of the sea. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. Nothing wavering, doubting. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. That man won't receive anything of the Lord. If you're still doubting and differing in one moment, I'm believing God, the next moment, well, I'm not sure. If you're still doing that, it's because you have not yet solidified and established the fact that God's word is covenant, that it is full of integrity. And we'll get to that. Tell your neighbor, we're going to get to that. Amen. So, because people don't have a good estimation of why God gave us His Word, they have a low-grade faith, and they're really constantly running a little bit of doubt temperature. You know what I mean by that? Anybody know what I mean? You know, like a person might just have a little bit of a fever or something. A lot of Christians are running a little bit of a doubt fever, you know. Because they have a low estimation of what the Word was given for. You know what I'm talking about? They have not established the fact that God, His power and ability are in His Word, nor have they understood the fact that really He is behind His Word. Amen. Jesus is now, he said some things and then he left, and then he inspired some more things to be said to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it down in the scriptures, you know. In his absence, he has ascended to the Father, and Hebrews 3:1 says that he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. And Hebrews 7:22, write those two down, it says that he is the surety of the new covenant. Now, what does that mean? What is an apostle? An apostle is a sent one. And a high priest is one to go between God and man. So Jesus is the go-between between God and man, and he's a sent one. Amen. Somebody said he was sent to the earth. Wait a minute. He's in heaven called the apostle and high priest. He was the sent one, sent back to heaven. What for? He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. In other words, he's seated at the right hand of the Father God, and he's doing something. What's he doing? He's watching over all the terms, all the provisions of the new covenant to see to it that when a man stands in faith on God's Word, takes God's Word in for what it is, takes it as the integrity of God, something that God said that he cannot lie about, and says, this is what I'm going to believe you for, Father. Jesus is sent to the right hand of the Father to watch over that and see to it that it comes to pass. He cannot fail. He cannot falter. He cannot ever lose a case because he is there and he is the guarantee of it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's that. He's behind his word. He said it, and he'll make sure. Remember, the Bible said, okay, let's look at this one. Let's go to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers. Oh, come on. Don't egg me on too much. Look at Numbers, chapter number 23. God, in verse number 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. In other words, change his mind. Has he said or said it, and shall he not do it? Let me give you the answer to that. Never. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? That's God saying, I am behind my word. I watch over my word. My integrity is on the line. When I said it, my integrity is on the line. I will do what I said. In other words, I'm not like a man that just vain talkers. In fact, that's why he said to us, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Because you'll never be a faith man if you never stand behind your word. If you never believe your word, because you have to believe when Mark 11:23 says you believe what you say comes to pass. You have to stand behind what you say. If you promise somebody I'll give you a call, you better call them. Yeah. Promise somebody I'm going to take you out to dinner. Don't just blah, 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 and say things that you don't intend on doing. You're undermining your faith. It undermines your confidence in what you say comes to pass. And in order to be a faith person, Mark 11:23 says you got to be a person that what you say comes to pass. You got to believe what you say comes to pass. And to not follow through with what you promised to do for people, that is undermining your confidence in your own words coming to pass. The reason God said don't do that is that God said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. He said, basically he said, because that's the way I am. I am a God of integrity. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, God's word was not yes and then no. But then he said, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's God, that's him saying God is a God of integrity. And in order to be a faith person, to be a faith person just means you take God at his word. And then you go start acting like it's so. That's not hard. Y'all still out there? Well, praise the Lord. That's the office Jesus ascended to at the right hand of the Father, the apostle and high priest of what you say in covenant. When you say covenant, when you speak his covenant words, he said, I watch over that to perform it. He said, it will not return unto me void. It will accomplish. Someone said, well, it hasn't been doing anything for me. Well, you're walking by sight. Don't give up so quick. I mean, you got to be like a bulldog with a bone. Grab onto it, and you're not letting go for the devil, for anybody, for any doubters, anybody else that says it'll never happen. You got to have some grit. Got to be like John Wayne, have true grit. Amen. So Jesus ascended to the Father, but his word abides with us. Amen. And is to be taken as spoken personally to us. As if you were the only person in the world and he whispered it into your ear. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just take that as God spoke a word to me. So many people come to church and they're wanting a word from the minister. Many of them are ill-esteeming this word. This word right here. Amen. So treat it as if the master himself was there and you were the only one in the world and he whispered it to you. Why does he say things to you? Because he wants you to receive it so he can perform it. That's the way he rolls. That's the way he rolls. Psalm 103:7. I sent my word and healed them. That's the way he does things. He sends his word. Isaiah 42:9. Isaiah 46:10. Those are other verses that say, basically, I decree a thing so that somebody on earth can receive it so that I can bring it to pass. Just the way God is. If you want to work with God, that's the way he is. Amen. So the way the word works is not just hearing it. It must find a home in your heart and dwell in your heart. It must abide in you, like John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. That means they live in you. If the first thing that comes out of your mouth is not the word, it's not living in you yet. Amen. Whenever it's the biggest thing in you, that's what you're most conscious of. The devil says something other and it doesn't even bother you. You don't need prayer for the pastor to come and pray. I'm getting so anxious. Well, that didn't go over real big, but it's all true. We're to pour it into our being until it dwells in us richly. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. To what degree? Richly. Richly. Amen. Now, you'll only do what is necessary to get it in you richly to the degree you believe in its integrity and its power to do some things. If you don't believe it has the power to change anything, you'll not do what is necessary to get it in you richly. How do you get it in you richly? Well, you know, the Bible talks about ye are God's garden, but doesn't it? And the parable of the sower is the parable of the sower sows the word. And the word and the soil is the heart of man. These are all things we all understand. But see, just because we know them doesn't mean we're doing anything with it. And so then he describes the soil and so forth. And he says there's different kinds of ground. And the parable of the sower is not about the seed. It's about the ground. The seed has its accomplishing ability. Every word of God has the power. Did I ever finish the Amplified of the angel to Mary? No word of God is void of power or impossible of fulfillment. I don't know if I ever finished that a moment ago. It's in Luke chapter 1, I believe, whenever the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you know, you'll conceive and so forth. She said, how shall this be? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And then the angel said, King James, for with God all things are possible. The Amplified says, no word from God is void of power or impossible of fulfillment. Oh, my. So when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you have to believe that it has the power to do what you haven't been able to do. You've been bound by fear. Keep pouring this word into you that sets you free from fear. It's got the power. Well, I haven't been able to overcome this. Listen, honey, there's something that is able. It is the power of God. But if you don't believe it has that kind of ability, nor do you believe that God will stand behind it and make it good, then you won't do anything to get it in you. You'll look to other places for help. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here are some scriptures about the word abiding in you. John 15:7, I quoted that. Here's another one, 1 John 2:14. You are strong. He said, I've written unto you, young man, because you're strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's how you overcome. That's how you become strong. That's how the devil can't steamroll over you anymore. That's how every third week doesn't have to be a depressed week, because, you know, these things go in cycles. Drawing the curtains and putting the cold rag on your head and popping pills, saying, oh, devil, if you'll leave me alone, I won't do this, I won't do that anymore. Amen. Amen. Victory is yours. That's how you get strong, by the word abiding in you. Somebody said, well, how do I get the word in you? Well, it's not by just leaving it on your coffee table. It's got to get in the ear gate. It's got to get in the eye gate. The prescription of how to make it work is Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my word. There's a lot of things people take up, there's a lot of opportunity to be distracted in our culture. I mean, nowadays you can spend all kinds of time on the internet. How many hours do they say average every day a person spends on the internet? It's ridiculous. Especially teenagers. But adults too. Wasting time. Somebody said, I don't have time. Oh, you got time for what you got, what you're interested in. You have time for what you're interested in. Amen. Well, I don't get anything out of it. Of course not. You don't get in it. I'm just answering what's coming at me. Amen. The prescription is you got to look at it. You got to put your ears on it. Amen. Even if you say, I'm not getting anything out of it, just stick with it. Just stick with it. And pray and say, God, open the eyes of my understanding. I want this in me. I want the answers in life. I don't want to be defeated the rest of my life. Amen. Now, here's another one, Matthew 12:34-35. Jesus said, because they told him, you know, you're casting out devils by the prince of the devils. And then he said, well, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You're over here, you know, saying I got devils and stuff. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Notice that. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Underline the word treasure and underline the word abundance of the heart. Things can get in you in abundance, but you're going to have to treasure them up. You're going to have to count them as a treasure. I said count them as a treasure. Hallelujah. You know how Job got out of what he got out of? Job 23:12. I have not gone back from the commandment of thy lips. I have esteemed thy word, the words of thy mouth, more than my necessary food. The word esteem also means to treasure up. And the Amplified brings that out. I have esteemed and treasured the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. Some of you wouldn't dare go without eating. But you would dare go on without reading your Bible. You would dare go on without reading the book of the month. You would dare go on without getting on the vault. You would dare. And the devil says, I'll take that dare. I'll take that dare. And I'll make sure you pay for that. Pay for the word not being in you. With no power. No power to do anything about it. Because the power is in the word. There's nothing more self-defeating than hitting a test or a trial, reaching down on the inside for something that'll hold you steady, and coming up with a fistful of nothing. That's disheartening. You know, many people that wait until they need to be healed to come to church here and get the word out of them, and most of them die. You say you're being mean. No, I'm giving you answers. And I'm giving you answers. You cannot. It's too late when the test is due to go study for your test. When the rent's due, that's too late to get a job. And whenever the cancer has attacked your body, that could be too late to get the word on the inside of you. The word doesn't get in you to abundance to start prevailing overnight. You got to do the right thing when you don't need it. That's what Matthew 7 is all about. It's all about, you know, laying the foundation before the storm came. You remember Matthew 7? You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm just having a good time tonight. So Matthew 12, 34 through 35. Notice the term out of the abundance of the heart. Things can get in you by degrees. If the things you don't want in your life are still there, it's because the word is not in you enough yet in that area to prevail. It has to grow in you until it's in you in the abundance that it needs to be to prevail over what's there. And you're the steward of it to determine how quickly it gets in you. Pastor Debbie and I have a dream, have a vision of building a house on a ranch land on Boy Scouts Road close to Central City. Hallelujah. And it's been taking some time. And I asked the Lord about 2 weeks ago, I said, Lord, this is taking too much time. He said, you're going to have to expand your insides. What about you? He said, it's still not quite in you. And I said, Lord, you're right. I know you're right. I'm getting it in. It's starting to get in. I got the driveway inside of me. Boom, it showed up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I got that inside of me. I got the rest of the groundwork on the inside of me. And I got a few of the timbers on the inside of me. But the whole thing hasn't dropped in there yet. He said, you're going to have to keep expanding your insides.
That's good. That's good.
Well, it wasn't the answer I was looking for. But it is my answer. What are you going to do in 2019? Stay small on the inside? Or are you going to get the word in there and let it expand you and expand you and expand you to where eventually what your dream is goes plunk down on the inside? Let me say it again. If the things you don't want in your life are still there, I don't want to live in a rental apartment, but it's still there. We sold our house. For those of you who don't know, we sold our house to build and moved into our rental. We don't live there because that's our, you know, that's where we haven't been living there. We just recently moved in. So there's something in my life that I don't want to be there. It's called a rental apartment. Or actually a rental barn. We live in a barn right now. It sounds terrible, but it's pretty nice. But if there's something in your life you don't want to be there, it's because the word's not in you enough yet in that area to prevail and get you out of that. It has to grow in you until it prevails. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. Hallelujah. Too many people, the word has too much competition to get inside of them. If it's going to be in them in abundance, there's going to have to be something else gotten out of them. Jesus said it in Mark 4, the parable of the sower, the thorny ground. He said the thorny ground is the ground that the cares of this life, the King James says cares of this life. Actually, the word cares means distractions. Distractions of this life. Ask yourself the question, what I'm doing right now, you go home after service tonight, what I'm doing right now, will it do anything for eternity? Will it produce anything, dream that I have in my life? Well, then it's a distraction from you getting where you want to go. Ooh. Yeesh. The cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches. He didn't say riches, he said being deceived by them. That's a sermon I can't preach right now. And the lust of other things. Entering in, do what? Choke the word. And your hunger for it, by the way. choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. I don't care if you've been in the word for 17 years since we came here to pastor. If you stop doing this, it'll start taking things away from you again. Not God, but the devil will start taking things away from you. The word has to remain in you. Not just get in you, but remain in you. Amen. But he said it has to abide in you and these other things. In other words, the word has too much competition in too many people's lives. It's all about the condition of the soil and what gets into the soil. The seed will do its mighty work if the soil is the right condition. And you got to follow instructions to get your soil in the right condition. I have a few things we've planted on the land God blessed us with, some trees and some other kinds of plants and stuff. Without getting into all that, there's one I've tried to plant every year in the fall for 3 years now, and the thing won't come up. Just like, I'm thinking about dumb seed, you know. What's wrong with you? It's not the seed. It's not the seed. It's the guy planting it. It's not even the soil per se. It's me not doing the right thing with the soil. Iowa soil is good soil. My brothers come out here. One brother's a farmer. We all grew up on the farm. And I was surprised, actually, when I went back home a couple years ago and I looked at the soil. I was like, man, it's all red. I thought the Pennsylvania dirt was good dirt. And they come out here and they go, man, look at that black dirt. What kind of corn could we grow if we were in Iowa? I said, just smack your lips, brother. That's the way. But anyway, we got good dirt. But it's the guy not doing the right thing with that dirt. Because I've read the back of the bag. I've watched videos of guys planting this. And they say over and 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 over again, it's the way you prepare the seed bed. Here I am scratching the top and throwing it down there and running a little drag over it, but it doesn't get down in the soil. I'm just scratching the top. Come on. All right. Now the fourth year is coming. And I'm tired of not having any deer to shoot in November and December. Because I don't have the food to make them come. So I'm not going to scratch dirt anymore. I'm going to till the dirt. I'm going to make it fluffy, and I'm gonna sow that seed, and I'm gonna cultipack it like it's supposed to be, and I'm gonna get it to the right depth, and it's gonna have the right fertilizer, and it's gonna have the right pH balance, and it's gonna be right, and it's gonna be watered, and it's gonna be.
Yes, sir.
And next year, but see, people come to church and are like, I need help, I need help. What are you doing with your dirt? Yeah. Are you following the instructions on the back of the bag? This is a seed bag right here.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I thought, I grew up on a farm. I don't need to do all that. Are you still out there?
Yes, sir.
I wasn't listening carefully to instructions on the bag, and I didn't follow them. Because, you know, I've been to a farm. I grew up on the farm. I know what I'm doing. I thought I was an exception. Oh, I thought I knew better. I thought, well, that doesn't really mean that. That doesn't mean me. Oh, yeah, it means you. Uh-huh. Well, can we stop on that, or do you want to keep on going? I didn't even get to the good part. We're going to have to quit. The word has integrity. It has integrity. It will produce. If it's not, it's not the word. It's not God's unfaithfulness. You remember Hebrews 11:11 is a verse that, oh, I just love this verse. It's talking about, Hebrews 11 is the chapter of faith, heroes of faith, you know. Hebrews 11:11 talks about Sarah. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed past the age of childbearing, you know, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hallelujah. The one who spoke is faithful. This is Him speaking to you and me. This is His integrity right here. This is His righteousness. This is His justness. He will not violate this. God said to Sarah, you'll conceive. At first she laughed, but then she changed. She judged Him faithful who promised. Hallelujah. And that means His faithfulness is His character and His integrity. He said it and He'll do it. You got to get to that place. That's where faith really gets real. I didn't even get to the unmovable part. If you want to be unmoved, you got to understand the integrity of the one who spoke, because the integrity of the one who spoke is the integrity of His word. There's some people, they'll say they'll do something and I just kind of just forget it. Other people, as soon as they say it, I go start banking on it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about writing hot checks. I'm talking about their integrity means their word is good. If they got to split the world in half and do something to make it happen, they'll make it happen because that's them. I got preacher friends that sometimes they promise to do me things and I walk out and just forget it because I know they're not. They're my friends. I'll send you that CD. Well, how long has that been? I'll send you that book. I'll send you that recording. I'll do this. I'll do that. Somebody said they forgot. Well, that's because they don't write it down. Because they're not. Well, anyway. I've forgotten things sometimes. But whenever I do remember, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. If I remember, somebody can come remind me, you know. Anyway, tell your neighbor, amen, it's all good. But whenever you know the integrity of the one who spoke, that's the end of wavering. Oh, I wish I could have got to that tonight. That's why God gave us His word, so that your heart can sing, my heart is fixed, God. My heart is fixed, Psalm 57:7. My heart is established. I'm no longer moved by my flesh's whims and what people say and the circumstances and kick from pillar to post, and I'm uncertain and unstable and just, no, my heart is fixed. God, thank You for the word that fixed my heart. You showed me how full of integrity You are, and Your word has made me solid and unmovable. Hallelujah.